activity was going to be wash my clothes.
Hey, not wrong with that.
Man. You ever got to the point where you just kept buying boxers because you didn't want to? Never mind.
We're gonna have
didn't say anything.
Today. Yeah, it's gonna be good.
What is this Chucky game I'm looking at? What Roblox. Is this?
Roblox. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it.
Griffville Survival? Chucky Roblox? This is what they doing in... Okay.
We're going to talk about it.
All right, man.
Cool. All right, we're good to go.
Hey, man. This what we doing in Roblox?
All right. Let's get started, man. I'm not fucking doing this with you today. Hello, like hello, hello. Welcome to episode 182 of the Super Weapon Podcast, most overpowered podcast on the internet. It's the boy, Darius, the artist, and as always, I got my co-host DC here with me today.
What up, though? It's your favorite know-it-all who don't know nothing at all. And today, we are here to talk about some video games. What we're talking about.
You know, man, it's been a crazy week, man. You know, it's... I feel like there's been a shift in the world of pop culture and everything, and you know, I hope everybody's doing good today, man. Thank y'all for hanging out with us. But I would feel wrong if I did not talk about the first thing I feel like we should talk about, and that is the death of Akira Toriyama, man, the famed creator of the Dragon Ball franchise, passed away at the young age of 68. And apparently it was about a week ago, and I was reading that, like, in Japanese culture, they kind of delay the announcements of people passing, especially, like, I guess, you know, just to kind of let the family grieve and everything, which I can respect.
Which, how it should be.
Yeah, I mean, but it was, you talk about something that's just kind of, like, out of left field, like, you read one of these things, you ain't like, what? That was the, because I didn't see this news until.
It was definitely a stop the world moment. It yeah. really was.
And for those of you, yeah, like I said, man, if you guys aren't sure who he is or never heard of him before, he's, like I said, he's creator of Dragon Ball. Hey, hey you'd be, hey, I'm just saying, man.
You know.
You never know. You never know. I mean, it's probably more often than not somebody knows what Dragon Ball is than they don't. So, I mean, you talk about, like, a behemoth of a series that inspired, you know, countless people to do other great things. I mean, you know, there was even plenty of other creators of other shows, you know, who, you know, said some very, very, very heartfelt things, in my opinion. And, you know, it's just it just really kind of fucking sucks, man. I mean, I feel like, you know, we've kind of lost a lot of famous, like, very influential people from our time, you know, like from our generation.
A little too early.
Yeah.
Too. In my opinion.
Yeah. And it just seems like. You know, this is one of the things that I guess that sucks about, you know, just sucks getting older, you know. And, like, I mean, you had entire countries, you know, shouting him out and showing him love. I mean, you know, what did Dragon Ball mean to you, man? Like, you know, how did you kind of feel about this news? I mean, I saw you did, of course, you know, you shared some very heartfelt sentiments online the other day. But how did you kind of, like, feel about this, man?
Yeah, I just want to I want to take a nice little good minute to just kind of go down memory lane a little bit, man. I think he deserves that much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone knows, right? We've had these conversations on here. We know how I feel about Goku. Okay? me and Toriyama been beefing about Goku since Super started. I just didn't like the direction in which Goku was going, but that did not take away my overall whole experience with Dragon Ball, the series, right?
Right.
Huge fan. And you, as a fan, right, you can have your criticisms, right? And so I criticized, toward like, Dragon Ball Super, I did do a lot of criticizing about Goku, but that's never to take away from the man, the legend, the guy himself, Akira Toriyama. And... Just to go back a little bit and explain, like, Dragon Ball is something really, really special. And I'm not just saying this for clicks or nothing like that. You have to think of the reach that this show has, what it's done for anime here in the U.S. As far as bridging the gap. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it was one of the pillars that helped bring anime to the mainstream. I feel like I don't think it's a far-fetched opinion to say that either.
No, absolutely not, man. I mean, come on, let's just be honest for a second here. I mean, there was a point in time, and I know it's hard for probably some of our younger listeners to fathom this, but there was a point in time where, especially in the US, anime was not what is considered now mainstream media or popular thing. Yeah, it was more niche.
It was an underground geek movement. Like and I think Dragon Ball helped to kind of bridge that gap, because I remember, just to show my age, I was watching like Dragon Ball when I was like, I want to say from middle school. No, because it was regular Dragon Ball. Then Dragon Ball Z came out. I was around in high school. And so you kind of saw that.
Yeah.
Like I put in my tweet, it didn't matter what walk of life you came from. Everyone knew about Dragon Ball, or they watched it because of the martial arts aspect of it. Everyone loved the martial arts part of it. You never seen it like really, really fleshed out in American cartoons at the time.
No.
So when people, because a lot of people who were watching Dragon Ball at that time, they didn't even know what like manga, anime, they really, I could speak for just growing up in Detroit, they really didn't know what that was. They just thought it was another cartoon. So with the animation style and everything, people were drawn to it, and the action, people were drawn to it, and the fact that there was big consequences as far as like characters dying, right? You've never seen none of this really in a cartoon that was on television. So you had like the geeks, the jocks. Man, my mom even knew what Dragon Ball was, because I used to come home and watch it. Like what was on at the time? It was like Oprah or something when Dragon Ball came on. And I used to want to watch it on the big TV, right, like in the den.
Get the full experience.
She'd be like, what is this? Like, what is this you're watching? And I just got to the point where she would sit down and watch it too. Like, you know, we'll just sit there, we'll watch it. And, you know, then my sister was like, yo, what is that? Like, so everybody, it kind of like connected everyone in a way.
Because
you can come to school, man, I remember when Goku first went Super Saiyan. That was a talking point for about a month.
Man. You imagine the impact of something like that happening in the world where, you know, where you have social media now, and just like you said, like that literally broke the young kids' hearts out in the world, man. That was like an iconic moment. And you know, shout out to Darkstar in the chat, man. He just, like he said, you know, it is a pillar. Just much like you were saying, you know, it was the bridge, I think, that really kind of got everybody.
That's not far-fetched to say. No. It really was.
I mean, because especially when it hit, you know, Cartoon Network and Toonami, when Toonami was at the height of its popularity, you know, in the mid-90s to the early 2000s, that really was the thing that took over everyone's, like, life at that point. And you know, I really especially kind of feel for his protege, Toyotaro. You know, he you know, because now you think about it, he's the one who's in charge of it now. You
That's know, a lot like, of pressure.
I couldn't imagine the amount of pressure that he must be feeling in continuing, because just like you were saying, Super's still going on. You know, they just dropped a chapter a couple of weeks ago. They're good for about one a month, man, and it's, you know, I couldn't imagine what he's feeling like. Honestly, if I was him, and I saw a lot of people saying, like, you know, maybe, you know, they should take a hiatus with the manga, and I wouldn't blame him if they did. I mean,
man, take your time.
How do you continue forward losing, you know, your mentor, one of the most influential people? I mean, like, you can see references with Dragon Ball from everything, from other anime to movies, TV shows.
The lead shonen, think about it, what it did for like shonen anime as far as the structure and how a protagonist and an antagonist supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? It was like, it was a blueprint to a lot of stuff that I think people may take for granted a little bit. They don't realize that, you know, like you said, for the younger audience, You know, they might take it for granted, or maybe they might not just know, but hey, that's why we're here to educate them. Like Dragon Ball, and it's just crazy because I just had a conversation about the evolution of like anime in the comments of someone's Reddit. And we were talking about from Dragon Ball to how the stories evolve now and things are, because people were trying to compare like Dragon Ball to anime now. And I was like, you can't do that. You know, things evolve. You know what I'm saying? I was like, Dragon Ball did what it was supposed to do so anime could be where it is right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and here's
here's a quick story for you too. As far as reach goes, right? Guy comes in my job. He's delivering something. I don't know what it was. Truck driver, delivery guy. He comes to my job. Big, like, he got his sleeves rolled up or whatever. He has a giant Goku when him and Gohan was doing the Kamehameha.
The father-son Kamehameha.
Had a whole tattoo on his arm. And everyone, like, in the warehouse was like, yo, that's a dope tattoo. Like, everyone knew who Dragon Ball was. I'm talking about white, black, older people. Like, everybody, like, crowded around him was, like, looking at his tattoo and was like, yo, yeah, I remember watching that in high school. Oh, I remember watching that. And the dude who had it, he was watching it, like, in college or something. I mean, not college. He was younger. And so that's just, like, a little quick little throw-in little story just to show you, like, you know, the range, like, how far this anime has grown. It's something bigger than what we've like ever seen, like for it to reach so many people, to be a person, right, to create something that massive, to create a legacy like that is just something that I dream about. Like, I would love to do something like that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, and his is like a story of honestly, like truly never giving up. I mean, a lot of people don't know, like,
yeah, he was homeless. He had a rough life. He had a really rough life.
He wrote 10 other things before that. And what really pushed him was entering. I was reading about it the other yesterday. It's like, what really pushed him was his story got voted the worst story in a like competition or something that he wrote for, and it pissed him off so bad he swore he was gonna be successful. Which is just crazy to think about, like that type of like determination to make something this legendary. But it just, like I said, man, it just makes me incredibly sad. I mean, like, just a few years ago we lost the creator of Yu-Gi-Oh! A couple years before that, we lost the creator of Berserk. Like, it seems like all these legendary, just like mangaka, are just, you know, they're just kind of going to the way of time. And, you know, you won't have this again. Like, you won't have another, in my opinion, like, you won't have another Dragon Ball. You know, there won't be something as influential as that. I don't think that'll come out of anything in Japan. And I know some people might argue, especially, you know, with things like One Piece and Naruto, and, you know, especially those things are definitely have their impact. Yeah. And they're part of the mm-hmm. Mount Rushmore of anime, in my opinion, of influential and big anime. But you know, you're crazy if you think something is like standing over Dragon Ball in terms of influence and just what it did for not just anime, but modern pop media, you know, pop culture. You know, it's the same, man. Like, it's just,
yeah, there's references there's Dragon Ball references all throughout pop culture, bro.
Yeah.
Like everywhere. Like it's not uncommon. And I was just laughing because I don't know, I sent you that post of what Stephen A. Smith said. very heartfelt post, but man, he murdered Vegeta's name. I was like,
he said something like Vegeta, or so he said something awful.
He said it with a lot of twang on it. It was like Vegeto or bless his heart, man. Bless his heart. Yeah. But I mean, he knew who they were as characters, and he knew he may not have like that wealth of knowledge, but like I said, like, even if you don't have this wealth of knowledge of Dragon Ball, right, you at least know the gist of it. Yeah. Or you know Goku, right? If all those fails, you at least know Goku or Vegeta. You know what I'm saying?
You know what a Kamehameha is, or you know, you've heard Super Saiyan, the term Super Saiyan before.
It's just like when people was running around with the, like, running like Naruto, like how everybody was screaming when they thought they were Super Saiyan.
Yeah, exactly. Look, man, let's just be honest. Everybody has tried to turn Super Saiyan at least once or twice.
Let me tell you something. That's one thing. If we keeping it real, that's one thing that used to piss me off. You had people just screaming. I was like, bro, what are you doing?
You gotta believe.
Oh, you trying to feel the tingle in your back?
Yeah, man. You just lost your best friend to Frieza, man. You gotta believe.
And look, while we speaking of that, bro, hey, I want to start right here, right now. Damn it. We going to start putting respect on Krillin's name, bro. Krillin is the best friend in the world, bro. I would love to have Krillin as a best friend.
Krillin,
he went
friend.
Into fights knowing he wasn't, just because he wanted to help Goku, he knew he was going to get his ass whooped.
He said, I'm going to throw at least one punch for my homie, bro.
And look, if it wasn't for Krillin, would we have gotten a Super Saiyan?
Exactly. So you guys really owe it, man.
Krillin sacrificed himself for
the
gold.
He ended up happy, man. He married the woman of his dreams. Like, come on, Krillin was winning, man. You know?
Boy, he wasted a whole wish. Let me tell you. Whole wish for the woman of his dreams. You know what I'm saying? But he deserved that, bro. Like, the more I think about it, because I used to shame Krillin. I was a Krillin shamer.
All right.
But now, the more that I think about it.
Shout out to BZ and Chad. Like, not a vacuum cleaner. Okay.
Hey, every time BZ come in the chat, he's like the... But hey, just don't, you know, keep Yamcha away from the gravity machine. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Oh man. Hold on. No, BZ, let me tell you something. It was not just Krillin's fault about Android 18. We gotta blame Vegeta too, because he wanted to run a fade with Cell, and it was his fault. He let her get absorbed, man. Nah,
yep,
we not gonna do that, man. We ain't just gonna toss Krillin.
No, his pride, as usual, got his ass whooped.
You know, Vegeta should have ended it, and then he got the smoke beat out of him, and he was swimming with his face in
and
the water.
And he been holding his arm ever since. That one broke arm, he been holding it ever since.
Man, and it's just like so many iconic moments. I think my favorite...
Favorite moment, go.
Yeah, I think my favorite moment, and it's gonna be so... You guys are gonna just, like, lose it. It's the when... Goku and Piccolo went to driving school in the filler episode.
God,
that for me is forever gonna be my favorite Dragon Ball Z moment. Like, cause it had nothing to do with fighting. It was cause you really don't realize, people don't realize how much of an idiot Goku is. Like,
I'm trying to tell you, boy. He only gets dumber.
You know, and he is just a true fucking idiot. That's definitely my favorite moment, man. What about you, man?
First of all, me and Dre been talking about Yamcha and that he barely turned the gravity up. What do you say, Dre? He was like, oh my god, I made a mistake.
He was losing his woman, man. He was trying to stand up for his woman.
Hey, bro, she been lost.
Lost, man. You know?
And we can have a whole, you know what? We ain't gonna tune into the Patreon if you want to know the real deal about Bulma, okay? But anyway, my favorite moment. Let me see. It's so many.
Oh my god, bro.
I mean, I could go to the movies, but that moment was a little too serious. I saved that one.
Nah, it could be anything, man. It could be a hype moment.
I like what Bojack said about humans and free will.
Ooh, that's a good
one. He pretty much was like, "This is what y'all do with y'all free will." And then he told him he had a $5 haircut.
Ooh, no, that was Android 13. Oh my god, when he was talking
Bojack,
talking
to him all kinds of crazy. Then my other favorite moment was when that man tossed Cell the Senzu bean. I don't know why that was so funny to
Goku's
me.
Goku's such a fucking idiot. He trusted his son. He got his son the phase, man. Yeah.
Well, his son was getting drugged. They was like, what? But you know what? Hey, little fun fact. If y'all keep up with Dragon Ball, that ain't the only time he did that. He gave Maro a Senzu bean, too.
He stayed doing that, man. He does. And you know what, Chad? What's your favorite moment, man? If you guys are in our audio listeners, man, let us know, you know, online or Twitter or Discord or, you know, just let us know what your favorite moment from Dragon Ball is or Dragon Ball Z. I mean, there's so many iconic moments. Okay, BZ, why... I need to know why BZ hates Yamcha so much, man. He said his favorite moment was when he got blown up by a Cyberman. He screamed for his life, man.
Hey, bro, look.
You want to know what another funny moment is that wasn't intentional for me?
Yamcha playing baseball.
No, it's when...
That filler.
He Yamcha realized fighting wasn't for him no more, man. He
realized, he went to play baseball.
He realized he could make some money because he was superhuman in baseball, man. I would have did the same thing.
He challenged Vegeta to a baseball game.
Yeah.
and that boy still got the smoke beat out of him, bro.
BZ said his favorite moment is when Tien got his arm punched. Oh, when he got that smooth cut, like it was a sword.
Oh, or when
he pushed his arm off so clean, bro. That was insane, man.
Or when Tien, a frame trap, sailed in the ground and he just was beating him to death.
Tien had heart, man. Yeah, he had heart, bro. He knew he couldn't fight Cell for real.
That man said, I'm running out of... That man was getting tired. He was like, help me, please. Dragon Ball, we could go on forever, bro. Dragon Ball is just hilarious. I haven't even reached Dragon Ball Super. It's so many funny moments in that.
Yeah, man. It's, you know, and just never forget, guys, Goku doesn't kiss his wife, man. Let's just be honest about that.
Got two kids, never kissed his wife.
He never kissed his wife, man. Vegeta was just fucking dumb.
They gonna try to retcon that. No.
Nah, he never kissed her, man. Kiss your wives, chat.
right, Darkstar. He had that man in a loop. TM was fighting for his life on that episode. Y'all don't understand, bro. He gave it all he got. Man. What is little triangle third eye beam, whatever he was
using, bro. He's like, ah.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, man.
Good times, man.
Yeah, Dragon Ball. It's going to live on. I have faith that his protege will make the right decisions. You know, people are going to be like super hyper critical of whatever comes out now and. I just tell them, hey, take a break, man, and then come back and just do what you think is right. Just do what you think is right, man, because... And I still would be beefing with Goku. That's never going to change. Like, Goku is like...
Come on, man.
I hate Goku, man. I'm sorry.
Come on, man.
I love Dragon Ball the series and what it's done for us and all the memories that we have from it. I'm just... Let's put it like this. I'm not really a fan of Super's Goku.
That's fair. I'm curious to see what it's gonna end up. Just like you said, man. Like, I'm curious. To
oh
see
yeah.
Where
Wait. Hold
it.
On. Hold on. I got something to represent the moment.
Dog, I gotta see this. I'm curious.
Gotta have it, dog.
Ooh.
Gotta have it. You gotta have a bad man shirt. The Vegeta bad.
That's actually
man.
Fire. I'm actually kind of jealous of that. Oh,
gotta represent.
That's when Vegeta was on Earth too long. You remember when Trunks was?
That's when he started. That's when he started to turn into a family man.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man.
Fun times. Fun times, man.
RP, man. Akira Toriyama, man. Legend among legends. He was the, you know, some people call him the Stan Lee of the East, and I actually kind of agree with that, to be real. But, we'll leave it there, man. We're going to move into another unfortunate set of news this week. It's just, once again, another giant of the industry gone, man. Rooster Teeth, Warner Brothers Discovery.
Oh, another one we can talk about forever.
Yeah.
Hey, I was a Red versus Blue junkie.
Oh, man. If you guys don't know what Rooster Teeth is, so they were essentially a group of content creators, is, you know, how they kind of started out back when YouTube was still kind of in its infancy. And they were the ones that really kind of, you know, I think they really kind of helped put Machinima on the map as well, you know, just back in that day. And, you know, just like DC was saying, so like their most, you know, one of their most beloved series is called Red versus Blue, which is based in the Halo universe. It's kind of like a spoof kind of parody kind of story. There were some serious and, you know, some actually pretty serious moments in the history of it, but this is just, man, like, I'm telling you, man, like you lose Akira Toriyama, and then, you know, you find out that, you know, Rooster Teeth's just getting shuttered by Warner Brothers. Apparently the company, you know, they felt like it was no longer profitable. They were actually trying to sell it off too, I was reading. And they couldn't find any suitors, so they ended up just closing the
and
doors.
And they have a lot of shows too, where people, if you go to the Rooster Teeth website, they actually had like their little own type of Netflix type deal going. They had a lot of shows over there.
Yeah, I mean, besides Red versus Blue, you had Ruby, you had what was the one? They were working on like a superhero show too, I believe. The name escapes me.
You had Face Jam.
Man, just like Darkstar said, Monty Ohm, he started there. For those guys don't know who that is, like, you know, look him up and everything. But It's just it sucks because I think especially even before Warner Brothers ended up purchasing them, man, they were just kind of seemed like they had, you know, the there was a big shift there for them. And I remember actually a couple years ago there was a controversy of like a toxic workplace environment. Allegedly, you know, there were some slurs thrown around. Not gonna say what, but you know, Rooster Teeth just kind of seemed like they were, I don't want to say like on a downward slope over the years, because I mean, obviously they still kind of had some sort of fan base. I haven't been keeping up with them since, you know, back in the day.
Yeah, they did the death battles too, right?
No, who does the death battles? I forget the name of that.
I thought they did the death battles.
That's a different group of people. That's Screw Attack. Thank you, Darkstar. I was just about to say, I think it's Screw Attack, yeah. But yeah, man, it's just unfortunate, man. Like, I feel like Warner Brothers Discovery is in this really just weird, weirdo place. I mean, like, you just had Suicide Squad come out for them, you know, and they claim that they're essentially going to be focusing more on live service games, which really just kind of, I retweeted it the other day. And you know,
you
I kinda,
don't like the cut of AJ.
I just wanted to talk about it, man, because we you know, we constantly talk about this stuff in the game industry and how this kind of like relates. And you know, I feel like Warner Brothers, after they merged with Discovery, that they're really just looking to recoup a lot of money on stuff that they feel like isn't worth it anymore. I mean, they've gone so far as to even not release certain films. I mean, they canceled the Batwoman film that was allegedly completed. They canceled the Wile E. Coyote animated film, which upset a lot of people. I mean, there's even, I think, the script for that leaked online too. But
sheesh.
I feel like Warner Brothers, they're looking at it like they really are trying to tighten the belt. And you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, the state of things with the company. I mean, like, I just don't really have any confidence in Rocksteady anymore after Suicide Squad. I mean, this is just unfortunate, man. Like,
brother, you must have faith, brother. You must have faith. Everyone stumbles, brother.
Yeah, it's just awful, man. Like, where do you think, like, I mean, just like with their whole focus on live service and everything, I mean, they were talking about, you know, the next Harry Potter game will probably be something live service, and for, you know, people love it or hate it, that game sold really well for Warner Brothers. It sold outsold a lot of games last year.
Ugh, really?
It did, yeah.
And wow.
Harry Potter is, you know, for better or worse, you know, still a very popular franchise in the world, so.
No. I'm thinking, not Harry Potter. I was giving something else the stink face. No, I ain't got no beef with Potter. That's understandable because Harry Potter has a huge fan base, so I'm not surprised by that. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I was thinking of God. What was I thinking of? It just flashed in my head and it made me mad.
Yeah.
But anyway, go ahead.
No, yeah, and just like Darkstar was saying, yeah, they're allegedly supposed to be going to like a different location with Harry Potter. Like I don't know about this. I think the live service bubble is really going to pop soon, man. Like, I don't know about you.
Soon.
Yeah, I think it's coming.
I think it's already over.
Because you think, right? Like, if they're talking about developing more live service games like this, you know, we're not going to get these games anytime soon, hopefully, you know, within the next 4 or 5 years. So, you know, I don't know where Warner Brothers really wants to go with all of this. And you know, I think they're going to be selling off the IP for Rooster Teeth as well, which kind of sucks. So, you know, a lot of those shows might end up looking completely different than what they were before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just...
See, my beef with live service games, man. This is my beef with live service games. It's a lot of investment depending on the style of the live service game that you're trying to create, right?
Yeah.
Because you have games like... I'm drawing a blank here. How can I draw a blank? Apex, right? Games that just continues to go on forever and ever. And you can kind of dip in and out, even though you will become kind of trash if you haven't played in a while.
Right.
But now, if you're trying to create live service in terms of a game like Destiny, I'm always going to use Destiny to me because that's just the benchmark and the base for live service, to me, in my opinion. But if you're trying to create something on the lines of a Destiny or something like that, it's kind of when I gracefully bow out, because I feel like games like that, you have to invest a certain amount of time in them to get results. And I just, me personally, I think that's where live service games will lose me. I kind of love the fact that you have a game like a Spider-Man or something you could beat maybe once or twice, and then, you know, you got your memories, right? And you just live with the memories in your head. Yeah. But according to them, the reason why they're doing this is because games like Spider-Man that are one and done, they're not really, like, profitable in a sense.
The sales aren't. I mean, hell, man, you can look at the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Apparently, it's not selling well, and that game has been, you know, critically acclaimed by a lot of, you know, content creators and media outlets. You know, a lot of reviews have said the game is fantastic, but because the game is essentially sitting on, you know, one platform, I mean, there's something like 100 million PS5s or something out in the wild now.
That's what I was telling my cousin yesterday.
And I think they sold, I think, 7 million copies or something. Something that's like a very small fraction of what they were projecting. And, you know, it starts to question this
exclusivity, right?
They're starting to look at it. I mean, Sony has come out and said that they're going to be looking at other avenues of other platforms. I mean, you know, focusing more on PC and stuff. I mean, look at the success of Helldivers 2 right now. You know, that game, it sits on PC and on PlayStation. And, you know, they footed the bill for the game and they published it. But it's going to get to the point where these studios, I mean, AAA development is just, it's getting out of control, man. Like, I think, honestly, and with what we're going to talk about with the partner showcase, I think Microsoft is looking at a lot of AA, smaller project games. Like, a lot of these studios are going to start looking at stuff like that, or they're going to turn to the live service route. You know, whether that's a VR game, whether that's a co-op, some sort of co-op, you know, adventure for you and your friends to play, a la Destiny, you know, a la, you know, RIP Anthem. But
it's the greatest flying game of all time.
Yeah, man. Like, I just don't know what's going to happen here. I mean, a lot of people are kind of scared for single player games. I mean, you know, EA just canceled the Mandalorian game that Respawn was working on, you know, amid the layoffs that they had a few weeks ago. And it's just, a lot of people are just like, man, what's going to happen to the future of gaming? And honestly, I think we'll get a better, I don't want to say like a better product, but something a little bit more risky in the double and triple A space that I think will be more interesting to people. I mean, because you yourself have kind of, you've actually sent me quite a few games over the last couple of weeks.
Oh, I've been dabbing.
That are more indie focused and everything. Yeah, like, what kind of led you wanting to do that, man? Was it just kind of with...
And to be honest with you, check out the Patreon, because I dabbled a little too far.
On the wrong side of Steam, yeah.
Yeah, I went to the dark side of Steam, and boy, my eyes still twitching. But what kind of led me to do that has always been what we talked about, man, you know. No, you guys heard the story 1,000 times, but I do really want to expand my gaming experience, man. I do. Yeah. I don't want to be, because I'll let you guys in on something. I was the 2K FPS Call of Duty guy, or Halo and like Call of Duty. It was a small group of games that I was playing religiously, and I feel like I got to a point where I felt like I was jipping myself out of the experience by trying, you know, just sticking with those games. And it's just something that I wanted to do, man. It's just something that's been very lucrative for me too, as far as like, I'm enjoying it. Like, there's so many good games out there. And I just didn't want to be one of them people complaining about, oh, there's no games to play, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
When in actuality, there's a lot of games. And also, I'm a graphics hound, right? Like, something, I'm very simple to the sense where something visually appealing will lure me in. But I had to adjust myself from that thinking as well, especially when it comes to like indie games. Sometimes the graphics are not ultra realistic, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes they're a little simplistic, but the game is still a great game. So it's just been something like a personal growth for me. Like, hey, I just want to try this out. And Game Pass has been helping a lot with that. Like, I'll go through Game Pass and play some of the weirdest games, but it's been fun. I advise anyone to try to expand their palette and try different things. So that way you won't get burnt out on the Apexes or Call of Duties, or, you know, everybody has their, you know, everybody has their main game that they go to, but it gives you a little bit of variety. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, variety, spice of life, man. And, you know, like I said, I feel like, just like you said, Game Pass is a great place to put a lot of those types of projects that, you know, may or may not get the spotlight that they deserve. And, you know, there were some from the partner showcase that we're going to talk about today that I'm actually super interested in, you know, that I had never heard of before the other day when they had the showcase. But I don't know. Like, I feel like the industry is going to, it's going to keep splintering off in these two directions, where you have big AAA budgets going to keep swelling and swelling and swelling. And, you know, you're going to see more consolidation in the industry, unfortunately. And then you're going to have teams that are, they're going to spin off and do something very creative and cool and weird. And, you know, something that you may or may not would typically play. I mean, look at, once again, you know, look at Helldivers, you know, surprise of the year so far. Excellent game, very fun to play with friends. And,
and keep mixing it up, man. I love the fact that they keep mixing it up, and people are complaining and getting mad. Like, hey, man,
you can't crutch on the railgun forever, guys. Just put it in unsafe mode. You'll be fine.
The guy, he said it. He was like, he literally said, I don't want my game to have a meta.
Yeah.
I want you to experiment with stuff. And, you know, I respect that. I like that.
Yeah,
just don't touch my auto cannon.
Just leave the auto cannon for our guy DC, man. So, yeah, man. You know, I hope those people who were let go from Rooster Teeth, you know, land on their feet. You know, unfortunately, it's another trend of in the entertainment, gaming, and, you know, tech space where layoffs are a continuous theme. But, you know, hopefully they land on their feet, find some place to go, man, because it's rough out here.
Indeed, it is.
Shout out to Weenie. He dropped a little bit of advice here. The main difference between snowboarding and surfing is the temperature of the water. You're welcome. All right, man. So
thanks for that tidbit.
Yeah.
We need one of those every episode.
And
now,
this is why
that's
you guys
job.
Should be here in chat. Yeah, we need a profound quote from you forever now, Weenie. Thank you very much, man. Appreciate you for volunteering for that. But yeah, man, let's move on to the last topic of the day, man. That's something that, you know, once again, this is the fun part. Let's not talk about people getting let go and stuff. But the Xbox showcase, man, that happened this past week, a little 30-minute banger. They had, about 10 games or so? You know, not a whole lot of games, but I liked a lot of what I saw, man. I don't know about you. There's a couple of, excuse me, had the burp there. There's a couple of games I'm actually looking forward to playing and picking up. Most of these will be on Game Pass, I believe. But the first game, like, I was like super interested in, you know, once again, Capcom, man, they just keep, I don't know, man, they just keep getting my money. Like, you know, they're going to get my money in a couple weeks with Dragon's Dogma.
They've been on a win streak for what, a decade plus?
Yeah,
now?
Five, at least, yeah, I would probably say yes, especially since Resident Evil 7. Like, they seem like they really, really know what they're doing. And shout out to them. I think they're actually giving their employees a raise as well. Like, they're like company-wide raise, which is awesome. So, but yeah, this game is Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess. This game is actually coming to Game Pass later this year.
I'm glad you picked that game, because I would have butchered that.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm not good with names. Sorry.
Yeah, nah, you're good. But nah, this game actually looks really, really interesting, man. You know, I was getting a lot of, especially from the art style of this game, like Okami vibes. Like, you know, so this, you know, if you guys didn't watch the showcase, this game is essentially looks like you're the guide of a priestess who has to go around the land and bless these villages and these shrines to cleanse the evil of the land, essentially. And what really drew my attention to this game was there's a day and night cycle, and at certain points in the game you partner up with villagers in those respective villages to defend basically like kind of like tower defense at night, you know. And yeah, this game actually just looks really freaking cool, man.
It covers, like, a lot of bases for you, I feel like.
Yeah,
because tower defense is kind of your bag.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm really interested in the combat, because you have like the more action style combat during the daytime when you're playing the warrior that's like, you know, creating this pathway for her to walk down, and, you know, that's a little bit more fast and frenetic. But then you also, you know, on the back end have this turn based kind of strategy element when you're, you know, because each villager, they seem like they all of them have like different abilities. One seemed like a priest, there was one with like a bow and arrow, and a couple of, you know, like close-up melee warriors. So I'm actually really, really interested.
Yeah, it seemed like it gives you a little, like, they, it seemed like they did a good job with mixing a little genre mixing here, right?
Like, right.
They're giving you a little bit of everything, and it's very polished. Because usually when people attempt to do something like that, something gets left out or something's not fully polished. Like,
right.
You know, if it's a tower defense aspect, it may be something that's, you know, you will skip over because you're like, oh my God, like I hate this part of the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, something but everything that seems feels to gel. Out of place. Right.
Yeah, and I also want to just answer our lovely crowd. I just want to tell Weenie, you know what? Capcom does that because people keep modding Chun-Li. That's all I'm going to say about that. Okay? They are against modding because people can't seem to stop modding Chun-Li, and I'll leave it at that. But yeah.
Yeah, man, I'm all in on this. This game, like I said, this game just looks, I love the art style. We were just talking about art style and everything. This, you know, it's definitely more painterly, you know, yeah, like the special effects and everything.
Is flowy a word? Like, I want to say flowy.
We'll make it a word today. Yeah, the flowing nature of it. Yeah, like everything looks very fluid and whatnot. But yeah, man, I'm definitely excited for this game. And like I said, it's on Game Pass. So, you know, if you guys are curious about it or, you know, interested, look up the trailer for, once again, Kunitsugami Path of the Goddess. There we go.
And Game Pass is looking nice right now. If you haven't browsed it in a while, I would suggest you do so.
Yeah.
There's some good games in there. Let me see. First of all, I just want to say that everything, we may not be able to go over everything, but I think as far as a variety, right? I just want to comment on it as a whole real quick.
Yeah,
I think the Xbox partner showcase, this is not me being an Xbox. This is just me speaking
Xbox.
Yeah, like, oh, you're going to say everything looks good. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Yes, I am.
Your Xbox
I think with what they're trying to do, right, I really like this showcase and the fact that, once again, there's this thing that they're doing with, it seems like you're getting a little bit of everything, right?
Yeah.
And it seems like, I feel like Xbox is purposely doing this because they want more people to engage in different types of games. That's just my weird take. I could be wrong here, but I love the variety. But if I was to like pick a game, if I was to pick one, because you took, like, that was one of my ones that you picked as well, but I would probably have to go with The Awakening.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, The Awakening, it just looks amazing. It looks very, very, it looked like the type of game I would play.
And
Unknown Nine. Yeah.
That one's just actually interesting. What about it kind of piqued your interest? I think I have to rewatch it. I don't know. It kind of glazed over for me, man. But what was it about it? Like, that was
one of the things was the way you traverse through the game. It reminded me of, it gave me a little bit of the Assassin's Creed kind of Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
Slash, like, I don't know. That kind of stood out to me, and it made it, like, it looked fun. Besides the graphics looking beautiful, and the fire looks, fire looks amazing in that game. I don't know why I noticed that. But one thing I didn't like, the combat seems just a tad bit stiff for as much flow as you have when you're, like, traversing around, when you're moving around a map. But I think the reason for that is because of the way that the options that you have when you're approaching combat.
Yeah.
I think that's why it moves the way it moves, because it looked like, you know, you can go from hand-to-hand combat to, like, weapons. So I want to see more, but it did pique my interest. So it'll be something that I'll definitely be looking forward to. And I think it's going to be on Game Pass, too.
I think so. And I mean, I'll say this much.
I don't remember seeing a big game.
The combat was kind of interesting. I don't want to say it was kind of turn-based, but the her abilities and stuff, how she kind of, like, she can possess people and make them do, you know, attack their own.
Yeah.
Their own teammates and stuff. I thought that was kind of interesting. It's supposed to come out, I think, summer of 2024. I don't see a Game Pass logo on it either, but I mean, it'll be coming to Xbox. I'm sure it's coming to other consoles or other platforms as well. I wouldn't be surprised if it comes to Steam. But yeah, that one, I might have to take a second look at it.
I want to see more of the combat, because usually, I hate to do this, but like Avowed, right?
Sure.
When you do that mixy kind of combat, when you're switching between weapons styles and stuff like that, I think that's a very hard thing to capture and make it look good and like have a certain flow to it.
Yeah.
So this is what kind of drew me into this game, because I kind of want to see their take on that. And I want to see like, because I feel like if they can get that, I would definitely be sold. For some reason, like if you just had a, I don't want to say a fast paced game, but kind of a game that's just moving and you going between these different styles. Think of like, because you kind of did that in Ghost of Tsushima, right?
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Like most games I've seen that do it well will have like dedicated buttons, you know, usually like on a D-pad or something for you to switch.
Right.
That was the case, excuse me, with Ghost of Tsushima, by the way, which is coming out on PC May 16th. So you guys should definitely buy that. But yeah, you could essentially switch between your stances by pressing, I think, the D-pad, different directions on the D-pad. And you know, maybe that is kind of what it is, or you know, hopefully it'll be something smooth like that. Because just like you said, when you have multiple ways of combat, whether that's like ranged, magic, you know, melee, and you want to give your player, you know, or the intention is to give your player the freedom to choose how they want to fight, you know, whether that's in the middle of the fight, you know, you have to make that kind of that, or the idea hopefully would be to make it a smooth transition. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, it has to have that. Like I said, today we creating a new word. It has to have that flow, that flowy flow. You know what I'm saying?
Flowy. It has to be,
because
flowy.
You don't want
to
be fighting multiple enemies and it's just clunky and you're locking on enemies that you don't want to lock on. You're getting hit.
True.
From different angles.
Yeah, man. That one's interesting, man. And you know, that's coming from good old Bando Namkai. So,
give me one second, chat. Someone's knocking on my door.
Oh, you're fine. I can talk about the next game. Next thing for me. So the next thing I was more interested in than the next game is it's actually a trilogy of games, a set of games. It's the Stalker trilogy. And for me, this kind of gives me heavy Metro vibes. Metro 2033. I don't know if you guys have ever played that or not. But this particular game, there's three in this package, and we have a new Stalker, I think it's Stalker 2 that's coming out later this year. And I'm actually definitely gonna check this out. I believe this is coming to Game Pass. It's out already, actually. They Beyonce dropped it. So they Shadow dropped it out. It comes with three games. It's gonna be on Game Pass. And you know, like I said, I'm definitely interested in Stalker, and I hope we get it this year. Especially with the, you know, the situation that the studio is in Ukraine and everything. But you know, everything from like it seems like, I don't wanna say kind of like survival horror, but it definitely a lot of things like different monsters and things, and you're in Chernobyl, and it looks like, you know, this post-apocalyptic, you know, super grungy type story. I'm not sure if all the games are.
I'm back, guys.
Oh, welcome back, man. I'm just talking about
the vote mob is coming to the doors. It's that time of the year, you know, people. Are you interested in learning about this candidate? Blah blah blah. Sure, give me the pamphlet. I got a podcast I'm recording. Thanks.
I love it, man. But I was just talking about the Stalker trilogy and how it reminds me a lot of like the Metro series. Like, I'm definitely, because this actually is out now.
Oh my God, Darius. That's another one I got to play through.
What's that?
I got Arkham. I got to play Arkham. I got to play through Metro. My backlog is ridiculous.
Metro is one of the best, like, first person survival games I've played. You know, and there's three games to the series right now, and I think the studio is actually working on four. They mentioned something about it. There's nothing officially announced, but I mean, I think this would be a good game to pick up. This would be good to pick up in the meantime if you know, I'm assuming these games are a little bit smaller. I mean, they were originally for PC, but this is coming out on Xbox as well, on console, I think for the first time ever, which is cool, man. I mean, you know, like I said, this is definitely, hopefully this, like, I'm not sure if these games are connected in any way. If you're playing like the same character, much like you do in Metro, you know, you're playing the same protagonist, Artyom, from the first game to the third game. But I'm not sure. If anybody in chat, let me know if you guys are interested in playing Metro. I mean, not Metro, Stalker. this is out already on Game Pass. So, yeah,
there's going to be another one on my list to play. Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna pick that up, man, sometime this year. I'm not sure when Stalker 2 comes out. I don't think there is a. Let me look it up. Stalker 2 release date. I don't believe there is a release date for Stalker 2. Actually, there is in September, September 5th. So, yeah, got a little time to check that out, man. But, yeah, I'm definitely interested in the Stalker series. It's, like, right up my alley. So
to kind of help myself with my backlog, I'm going to stop doing side quests. I've come to I thought about this last night.
Don't do that to yourself. What if you missed something cool, man? I mean,
look, man, Spider-Man side quest got me in a headlock, okay? That's the reason why I still haven't finished that.
You know what's so funny? I can't even be mad at you because I've been doing the same thing on Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, like I've been swinging around the city and because I think Spider-Man is going to be after I was supposed to finish Cyberpunk this week, right? That's what I told myself. But my job has offered me, we kind of got unlimited overtime right now. So... with that money and then the money that I made from tips from my other job, I think I'm going to start using it to, I'm going to get a, what's that? So I could stream my Xbox and stuff. I'm going to get a, what do you call
capture
it? A little, yeah. I got, cause my computer can't take the capture card like my old one. So I have to get like the, what is it? The wireless one or
you
the one.
You need an external capture card. For
Yeah. External. Yeah. So I'm thinking with the tip money that I made and my overtime money, all this stuff, I'm going to invest back in myself and buy some equipment, man.
That's
so,
awesome, man. Hell yeah.
Yeah, so we can get some other things going on the YouTube and stuff like that. But my question is, okay, once I finish Cyberpunk, all this talk about Final Fantasy got me wanting to play Remake and Rebirth. But I also want to start... I want to go ahead, since I've started Spider-Man, I kind of want to jump into that too. So I'm kind of confused if I want to go the Final Fantasy route or do I want to just go ahead and start on Spider-Man?
I'll say this much, right? If you were to play Spider-Man, I think you would finish Spider-Man a lot quicker than you would Final Fantasy.
That was my thoughts.
You could forego if you played on a, like, let's say normal difficulty or something. You could forego doing a lot of
casual,
like,
baby.
Yeah, you could forego doing a lot of the side quests and stuff and kind of just enjoy the story for what it is. Because the game is not super difficult. You know, at least the first one is. And the second one, man, fucking crazy. Some of them enemies crazy. But don't be like me and play it on Spectacular Spider-Man. Just enjoy it.
Oh, no, I already turned my level down because I was getting boxed up. Bro.
Yeah, you know, you can only, that Spidey sense only helps so much on the higher difficulties. But I would
say
that,
I'm talking,
man,
about getting hit with rockets. I'm talking about boxed up.
Oh, Darkstar. So what's going to be in the new game plus for Spider-Man? I think they just dropped that if I remember right, now that you mention it.
Robo-Venom.
Robo-Venom, imagine. BZ, I was just talking to BZ the other day as well. He hasn't finished Spider-Man 2 either, so... Yeah, man, we got to get these games out of our lives because once Dragon's Dogma 2 comes out, like, and we can talk about this real quick before we get out of here because we're running out of time. Dragon's Dogma 2 is I'm getting Resident Evil 4 vibes for that for me. Like, from everything I've seen from the previews and the amount of freedom that game gives you and the crazy amount of shit that happens and how you can get attacked by just literally walking through the forest by a griffin that's the size of a small house. Like, the game just, man...
Yes.
That's a day one purchase.
I looked it up when you told me about it because I know I had one on like my 360 or something.
Yeah, I've never played the first one either, but I've heard nothing.
I had it downloaded because I think they gave it away for like, I think it was like a free game 1 month and I just downloaded it but never played it.
Right. Yeah, no, but, it looks incredible, man.
So I feel like, man, we're going to have to start dividing and conquering with these games because it's getting wild on these streets, man.
Honestly,
ever since last year.
I don't know if I'm buying anything else after that. I mean, because let's talk about it, right? So we got, the flavor of the month right now is Helldivers. You know, we got that for now. Like I said, Dragon's Dogma 2 comes out in 2 weeks, which they said, I believe, the main story, you can beat it either in 40 or under 40 hours. But if you 100% the game, it's like 100-something hours, which is just fucking insane. So I'm going to lose my life in that game. I don't think there's anything coming out in April. April video game releases that I'm interested in anyway.
No, something comes out in the end of April. I can't remember what it was.
Let's see. I'm going to scroll. Yeah, we're doing this live while we're on the podcast talking about video games, guys. Welcome.
Welcome to Nerd Town.
Yeah, so let's go to April on this list here. There is one game, I guess, you know, this one game everyone's talking about, Stellar Blade, that people are playing the demo for now because, you know, there's an anime butt on there or something. Girl anime, big anime butt. I don't know. People are weird.
Yeah, oh no, Stellar Blade was probably the one I was looking at then.
Yeah, I think that might be the one of the bigger ones of the month. There's really nothing else coming out, like I said, that I'm super interested in. And then, of course, in May can just kiss it, because you got, I think, Ghost of Tsushima and Hellblade 2 that come out in May, if I
Are you going to
remember
get that for PC? You getting Ghost?
right. Of course. Yes.
I mean, you beat it about a billion times, so
No,
I had to be sure.
I only beat it once. I only beat it once. I never played the Iki Island
DLC?
expansion, and I barely play any of the co-op, so yeah. I didn't do everything there was to do in it, so I'm definitely picking that shit up. Yeah, 100%. It comes out a week before Hellblade 2 comes out May 21st. Yikers.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I'll
I
still be over
mean,
here playing backlog games.
right. I mean, yeah, I mean the game, I mean there's just too many games to play and keep up with, man, but it's a good problem to have for everyone. And you know, I'm definitely going to be checking out some of these games that were announced at the partner showcase. And yeah, man, it's a great time to be a gamer, man. I don't know about you.
Yeah, we still feeling the effects of 2023, which is good as far as games go. You're gonna have something to play. Like I said, hey, if you screaming that you ain't got nothing to play, are you really video gaming?
Put the
I
2K
don't think
down,
so.
man. Just
Hey, brother,
turn
walk
2K
away.
off and
That's
and
okay,
get
right?
PlayStation Plus or Game Pass and have a
It's
good time,
okay.
man. Yeah, have a good time.
It's okay. So, just a random tidbit. I was looking through my library. You know how when you click on one of your games, it kind of shows you like all the updates, recent activities for the games and stuff. I clicked on Grand Theft Auto, right? This game has literally been releasing content every month, and I just ain't know it. Oh my God. Grand Theft Auto will never die. Grand Theft Auto 5 Online or Grand Theft Auto Online, whatever you call it, it's the game that never dies, okay? I think it's amazing, funny, and wild at the
Yep.
same time, but they're going to keep coming out with content until 6 come out. So guys, just get
And
used to it.
then
We went from drag racing to tow truck stuff. Like, it's just so much stuff going on in this game now, but I just saw that and thought it was funny. Thought I'd bring it
shout out
up.
GTA, man. And whenever we get GTA Online 2 in 2026, I'm sure it'll be a banger.
I'm pretty sure they're going to have to build a few more towers or
A couple more
whatever.
data centers for sure. 100%.
Them black cubes they call data centers, you know, yeah, all that.
All right, man. I guess that's a good place to wrap her and dapper, man. Thank y'all for hanging out for episode 182, man. Once again, just, you know, another heartfelt rest in peace to Akira Toriyama, man. You know, gone but
Word.
not forgotten. Don't forget to,
Legacy will continue
yeah, legacy's
forever.
gonna continue, man. And you know, everybody, you know, say a prayer for him and his family, his people, and his protege, who is now the head of or taking over Dragon Ball. So
Don't be an asshole to him either. Let him
yeah,
cook.
let him cook, man. But I'm gonna get up out of here, man. We're gonna get up out of here, and I appreciate you guys for hanging out, man. You can find me Darius the Artist everywhere. Darius the Artist on Twitter, where E is a three. Make sure you guys follow my reaction channel, Artist Reacts. I
Ooh.
suck at editing. I'm about 2 days
Just cook,
behind on
man.
some things, but we cooking, man. We learning some stuff. I'm doing some fun shit over there, so make sure you guys check it out. And I'm gonna let DC have the flow.
Hey, look, we didn't get a chance to go over all the games as usual. We just pick out some of the things that we like, but we do encourage you to go check it out. It's on YouTube. Go check out the
Yes.
whole Xbox partner preview on full showcase thingy for
Yes.
March 2024. Go check it out yourself. Check out the games and come back. Hit us up in the comments. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you think we should have talked about or something that we may have missed. We like to keep it short and simple around here. But anyway, think that's about it, you know. I don't have too much to say. It's just been a long week. We appreciate you guys always for coming through and kicking it with us. Weenie, I hope you get you some rest, brother. And
Yes.
that's about it, man. You know, I'm about to go relax, probably put in some overtime, you know.
You about to play some Democracy, motherfucker. All right,
I mean, I'm
guys.
down
Thank
with
you
that
guys for
too.
hanging out, man. If you guys are in chat, stick around. We're gonna play some video games, and that's gonna be in
Screw
the audio
work when
version.
the mock.
See ya. Peace.
Peace. Screw work when.